This is CliffCentral.com.
Business Masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald. Great to be with you. Richard Angus joining us, CEO of the finance team. Hi, Richard.
How's it, Adrian? How are you doing?
Good, good, man. I love this part of the show, this whole hour. I am passionate about leadership, but this show is right up there because of the need to build SMEs in our country. Today is unique. We've got some winners of this competition in the studio, and we'll engage them in the second half. But the first half hour is our business skills conversation with someone from USB Ed, usually. And today is Kumo Shongwe. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's really, really good to have you with us. I think it's a very apt moment to have you. And the theme of determination, self-motivation and purpose is probably very relevant to our entrepreneurs sitting there listening right now. It's good to have them with us. Last week we spoke product design, quality and testing of new products with probably one of the leading figures, Richard, out there.
Yeah, Brian Stanoble, incredible man, incredible concepts, incredible thinking. Yeah, really, really great.
Okay, that's fantastic. All right, let's kind of get going on our. Let me first congratulate. How many do we have here? We've got a couple of. So we've got five of the 10 or 13. Entrepreneur, Township Entrepreneur winners in the studio, and we congratulate them. I mean, that's fantastic. It's a wonderful competition. It was a big do on Saturday evening. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it, but that's where they were awarded the, I guess, the prize in their specific categories. So we'll engage them in the second half, and we're honored to have them here today. All right. So our theme today, we all need this, determination, self-motivation, and purpose. Richard, yeah, you've got our special guest. Just to introduce Kumo, she's a late starter entrepreneur. I like that, but I don't know if it's ever too late to start. She left the corporate world at the beginning of 2013 after a 25-year stint in the mining and investment sectors. She has businesses in the financial services as well as hospitality industry. She's an independent consultant, sits on boards as an independent non-executive, and does advisory work as well as teaches at business schools, including USB Ed. So, Kumo, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and congratulations to the entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have them here today.
Yeah, it's great to have them.
A little later, we'll have them stand up, pitch their business, and we'll ask them a couple of standard questions. How did they get there? Why did they do it? Are they motivated? How do they stay motivated and inspired? So, Richard, yeah, take us away. I mean, we've got determination, self-motivation, and purpose in one sentence. Why? It's like a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, and I think one of the questions people often ask is, what really gets that entrepreneur going? What makes it happen? What differentiates the entrepreneur perhaps from everybody else out there? Because as we know, not everybody is an entrepreneur. And there's always this question of, is an entrepreneur born or are they made? And I guess part of that question can actually be answered in these three simple words of, well, how determined is a person? How self-motivated are they? And ultimately, what is their purpose as an individual? So perhaps as a starting point, and Kumo, if I can ask you, I mean, what's the difference between determination and self-motivation? Because those words, you know, some people use those things almost interchangeably. In the world of a person and an entrepreneur, in your opinion, what is the difference between those two? What defines those two elements in your mind?
Wow, that's a difficult question, but I'm trying. I think determination and you're saying you want to know what the difference is between self-determination and motivation. Mm. I think they are quite linked, but, you know, if you talk about self-determination theory, you're talking about a framework of human motivation and personality where it frames one's motivation in order to succeed at what they're doing. And most of us may be motivated by either external forces or internal, in what we call intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. So it is very much person dependent. And you find that with most entrepreneurs, a lot of those who become quite successful are more intrinsically motivated. Because when you are intrinsically motivated, you're not just doing it for the benefit of being seen to be successful, but there's something that drives you inside. It could have been where you have come from, what has informed your childhood, what has informed on your motivation to do what you're doing. And one finds that a lot of people who become successful, there's something that drives them internally. It's not around, I'm going to be successful so that the world can say, yay, I am a great person. It's more an intrinsic motivation that does that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, when you look at self-determination as a theory base, I mean, there must be some basic psychological needs that drive a person. What do people want to satisfy when they say I'm a I determine my own future? What are those basic needs that they're looking to try and satisfy? Let's analyze some of those.
Well, there's a matter of personal passion.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might want to be in the hospitality industry because it's a passion that they have, whereas somebody else might think, why would anybody want to get involved in that?
Like me.
We've always said there's got to be something wrong with being in a business that you're working when everybody else is on holiday.
Absolutely.
So hospitality is a problem with
my mind. But then for that person who's in hospitality, this is their holiday.
Yes.
I love it.
To use that personal passion. The other thing is that it's the internalization of what you want to do. If you internalize how you want to be competent, how you want to be successful, that also determines how one is going to go about it.
Okay.
Can I say something here? I like what Kim is saying. I just also believe, you know, this is not a scientific, you know, principle that I'm about to highlight here. But I think motivation and self-determination for what they are worth, I mean, they are both manifestations of a particular discomfort, you know. I think intrinsically as human beings, we move from one particular spectrum and long to be on another spectrum. And I think even for myself personally, every change that I've gone through has to do with a particular discomfort. I want to get somewhere because where I am just isn't good enough.
Uncomfortable there.
Yeah.
Interesting there. So it's not necessarily a huge motivation to, make money. I think for some entrepreneurs, most of them, it's deeper than that. They think it's that, and when they have it, why am I still driving? Why don't I stop and enjoy my holiday home or my beautiful car? I keep driving because there's some intrinsic something there.
I think money is incidental.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I also think it's about controlling the outcome and the experience, as you rightly say. It's that discomfort where you want to be in control of the outcome of what is to be. So I think that's one of the things that is a big motivator for a successful entrepreneur or anybody else.
There's the concept, I guess, of, let's call it autonomy, the ability to almost be the causal agent of one's own life and one's own destiny. So I'm in control. I'm making sure that I get what I need, that connectedness, and all the other elements are there, but there's that, you know, desire almost, let's call it an integrated personage. So I've done what I want to do, and it's in my space, and I'm in control, and so I'm motivated. This works for me. It kind of ticks all my boxes.
Yeah.
And that's quite an interesting one, because it basically means that the entrepreneur out there can tick the boxes that they've created, as opposed to boxes other people create. I mean, people often ask, you know, so what is the measure of success for somebody? And we always say, well, everybody has different measures. The reality is the self-motivated and self-determined entrepreneur out there is ticking their own boxes that they've created in and of themselves. And when they've done that, then they feel satisfied. And until they've done that, they will keep going and keep at it, no matter how long it takes.
I also want to add to your point, Adrian, that that it's also about having one's locus of control either being internalized or externalized, to add to your point.
Mm.
If one believes that for something to happen, it's the external forces that are going to make it happen. Therefore, if things go wrong, then they blame the world out there, and they do not look at what have I contributed to be to have this situation. It becomes very difficult for one's motivation to actually be realized. Because if you are on this journey where you've got this personal passion, where you have this internalization, but if things go wrong, you blame the fact that, I don't know, the cat drank the milk that I was supposed to use in my coffee, and therefore the world is a bad place, then it becomes very difficult for one to find that self-actualization as a business person, or as anything for that matter.
There's a concept, they, I always call it the window mirror syndrome, and it's a function of, as a leader, what type of leader are you? And I often use the analogy of, you get the people that when things are going well, they look in the mirror and say, look how well I'm doing. And they look out the window and they look at their team and the people around them and say, look at what those guys are up to, and they're not doing too lekker and there's issues. Versus a person who, when things are going well, looks out the window and says, look how well my team is doing. Look how well the organization's doing. And then they look in the mirror and reflect on the issues that perhaps they've got issues with and say, what have I done or what am I doing to fix the problems? And if the window and mirror is the wrong way around, that's the difference between somebody who's, you know, able to, let's call it, be properly motivated and you know, intrinsically motivated to get to the right results, as opposed to, as you say, blame the cat for drinking the milk.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intrinsic motivation, which is the innate psychological need for competence and self-determination. So if one does not have that, it becomes very difficult to own up to what is happening in your life, in your business, or in any other thing that you're busy with.
I think it's also very important to kind of add a realistic tone to what you are trying to describe here. In the context of South Africa, I mean, we've got no jobs here in this country. We've got one of the highest unemployment rates, and it's often said that the next series of jobs would have to be created. So where entrepreneurs find themselves, they are, you know, grappling with this question of whether are they going to go out look for a job, or are they going to create a job? And I think the latter is far more important because of the opportunities that are inherent in a society like ours, where you have a myriad of challenges, and every challenge is an opportunity in that regard.
But you don't ever start a little business with the motivation of creating jobs. No one starts a business
certainly
with that motivation.
Jobs are incidental, but
yeah.
There's always an economic aspect to it, for yourself and for the people around you.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the context of where we are, you know, we have to, again, look beyond just our own immediate self situation, because through that, you'll be able to attract opportunities that may also help your business.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the bigger questions is, you know, So how does one drive motivation in amongst the environment? How do you become or how does one as a business owner drive motivation both for yourself and for your say even a small team around you? How do you motivate others? So if you've been internally motivated, how do you translate that? Because your internal motivation may not be the same motivation that somebody else in your team. You know, you may now have a small business. You've employed maybe one or two people to work with you. You're internally motivated. What motivates them? And I guess that's one of the challenges of entrepreneurs is you're, let's call it, self-engaged and self-motivated, but the other people are employees.
Otherwise, they'd be starting their own business.
I don't want a person like that. I mean, if I'm an entrepreneur, you become the first or second employee. I mean, you gotta be like myself, be an opportunist. I mean, if opportunism is what motivates you, then I think we're a team.
Yeah, but I don't think I've run into entrepreneurs so often where they can't understand that their employees don't have the same level of determination or the same level of motivation or sense of purpose as they do.
Yeah.
Hold on, Mr. Entrepreneur or Mrs. Entrepreneur. There's a reason why you've taken the risk. You are so determined for some reason and so self-motivated that you've taken that big risk to start your own business. You can't necessarily expect of this person to be as motivated or as determined. It's there's a different mindset for an employee versus an entrepreneur or an owner, and it's a big leap. It's a big gap that, you know, for it, that's what I think. And then they can't understand, well, why am I like this and other people aren't like me?
But isn't that also the issue of why you even see organizations that fail? I mean, Kumo, you've been, you know, on the 9 to 5, you know, 25 years. I mean, so you have a lot of experience to share in that regard. But what I've observed in my sort of 9 to 5 situation is that organizations fail because, again, they fail to inculcate the mindset of entrepreneurship, even among employees. You know, as an employee, there's something that you are selling as well. So the moment you see yourself as an think of yourself as an entrepreneur, I think there's magic that happens in the organization, because certainly you now move with much more responsibility.
That ability
on whatever task that is at hand.
But that ability of I to help you feel like you're an entrepreneur in an organization where you aren't. Not really. It doesn't sit in anyone's, you know, ability to do. That's incredible leadership, to inspire in people that they're part of this purpose and they're part of this drive towards changing the world, maybe, or I don't know. And they say, well, just give me more money. I just want to put my kids through school and really I want to be there to pick them up.
That's the conditioning part.
And go watch their soccer game and that sort of thing, which we all want to do. But Kumo, why did you leave the cushy, shall we say? And it's not cushy these days anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not sure anywhere. There's no place in this world that's sure. Why did you leave? And Richard, you left very cushy jobs. Honestly, you did really well, even at a young age and all the way through. Well, in fact, all of you had really good jobs sitting in front of me.
The answer is we are all crazy. How's that for an answer?
So entrepreneurs are crazy. You guys, then, you're crazy. And I know we often do think that when you lie in bed at night and you worry about cash flow and things, you think, I'm crazy. Let me go find a job. Why did you jump?
Jump? Not sure if that's the right word. But I woke up on the 1st of January of that year, and I realized that by the end of that year, I'd been in corporate for 25 years. So something, I had to think of what's next. And I realized that I wasn't getting any younger. So I said to my husband, at the end of this year, I'll have done 25 years. I've been talking to you about this. I would like to do something else, which is equally meaningful. And maybe I should do it now. So it was the 25-year issue that got to me. And when I got out, and that's why I refer to myself as a late starter entrepreneur. I wanted to continue with what I was doing in a different form, as in doing advisory work, which I still do, sit on boards, etc. But there were offers to partner with people to go into business with them. And these are people that I know very well, that I've worked with, that I trust. And I thought, why not? Let me become a partner. And it has worked well for me.
Did you feel like you were missing out on something? I mean, did you feel I'm missing out on something? What was that thing that was lacking? Because you did well. But what was lacking?
I felt like I was not learning anymore. I was doing what I was doing. I had been doing it for, not that there were no challenges, but I just needed new challenges, which were also being able to drop the kid off at school. And if she forgets her lunchbox, be able to drive back home without freaking out, to take her lunchbox back to school. Or if she forgets her
hockey stick.
Did you achieve it?
Yes. Okay. Yo, all right, Richard. Back to you. We're on a tangent, but it's so interesting. Yeah. Because you guys have all jumped. All of us here are working for ourselves now. And you guys, more than me, have had really good jobs, good corporate positions, and you've decided to move and become late entrepreneurs, maybe also, in that sense.
Mm. So perhaps now let's move to this whole question of the connection between motivation and purpose, and perhaps the earlier conversation isn't so unreal, because I think the question of purpose often plays in this whole equation. I mean, come on, what is purpose? What defines purpose? What is it? How do you describe it in your words?
I think it's a very personal thing to define it. The example that Adrian used earlier about You've got an entrepreneur who employs people, and the guy does not want to behave like an entrepreneur because they call themselves an employee, and their purpose is to use your example, Adrian. I want to put my children through school. I want to be able to go on holiday with my family, et cetera, et cetera. So purpose is very personalized. But it also defined by the motivation that you have. Why do people become entrepreneurs? Yes, you have mentioned that we have a situation in our country where we have a very high level of unemployment. So a lot of people then, some of them start off as, if I cannot get a job, let me try something. And then by default, they become successful, or they do become successful because they have the self-determination. They've got the motivation that we've described in terms of intrinsic motivation. And then lo and behold, it becomes successful. Then they realize they have to bring other people on board in order for them to deliver on what is required. And then the business grows, and then they bring in other people. But yes, they do not have the same purpose that the entrepreneur would have. So the purpose would be different. As the important thing, and just to go back to our earlier conversation before you told us that we jumped the corporate world, is that you, the important thing is that even though there is the entrepreneur, there's an employee, there is members of the team, it is basically having the same, call it the same storyline in terms of this is what we are about and this is what we want to do. Even though my motivation or my mine is to take my children to school and pay for school fees, and for the entrepreneur is something else, is to create jobs, but it is, there is a purpose in that.
One of the things that has often become quite clear to me as you engage with various businesses and various ventures is that entrepreneurs with a clear purpose and understanding really, really are able to engage with their market in a very clear and concise way. I mean, we talk about the principle of a value proposition. I think if your purpose as an entrepreneur is clear and you have clarity of understanding of exactly what you want to achieve and how you're going to go about achieving it, it then makes it a lot easier to identify your value proposition, the types of employees that you want within your organization. It gives you the ability to set goals very clearly with this almost, let's call it, directionality in terms of, you know, from purpose to goal to outcome. And it really focuses down on in terms of an organization. However, now I want to ask a question. Does a person that's got a very fixed purpose not also constrain a business in a way because it's my way or the highway kind of thinking? Does that ever cross your path in any way?
I think it is around relatedness. It's about relating to what you have to deal with. It is, and by relatedness, I mean to be able to be connected and to experience and caring for others in order to achieve what you want to achieve. Let's take the entrepreneur who started a business. This business started with the first employee being the entrepreneur, one person story, Mr. or Mrs. Entrepreneur, Miss Entrepreneur. But Miss Entrepreneur realized that in order for them to grow, they have had to bring in other people who by definition become their employees. If there's no relatedness between you and the team that you bring on board, all the things that you are describing, Richard, are not going to be necessarily realized. There's going to be a dissonance where my way or the highway kicks in. Whereas if Ms. Entrepreneur says, this is what I'm trying for us to get to, and in order to get to this, we have to do A, B, C, and D, and our relatedness and how we relate with one another in order to get to that goalpost can be done through A, B, C, and D. Regardless of the purpose of those people, let's say by this time the entrepreneur has employed 20, 30 people, their purpose is very different. Of the 30, there are 30 purposes there. They've got all different needs. So it's how the entrepreneur or anybody else, even in the business world, even in big organizations, it's about how do you relate to what this particular organization that I work for intend to do? What does it want to achieve? What is its vision? And by vision, I'm not just talking about short-term, I'm talking about long-term. What do they want to be? Do I relate to that? Am I aligned to the values of this organization? And if not, then it doesn't become easy.
So maybe if I can summarize that. So the principle of, so you have a purpose as an entrepreneur, and if you use the concept of relatedness in terms of how an individual experiences their own motivation, you're actually able to then connect through the principle of relatedness, let's call it the self-motivations of each individual in your team behind the purpose that you're aiming for.
Yeah. But to do that, you have to really connect.
And the key behind all of that is you don't get that connection by sending somebody an email and saying, hey, this is my purpose and get on board. It's about relationships and that relatedness and connectedness, I guess, are in the same sentence.
Just very quickly, old man sneaked into the studio. Did you want to?
I just want to mention the importance of clarity of vision, because Richard's point just now, Richard, about the flexibility is, you know, the one hand, clarity, the vision is important, what do you want to do, etc. But you have to move and change quickly. So therefore, often your short-term plans can change, what they call agility. Mm. Now, that's important out there, and that's actually what Richard was getting at as well. You must have to be agile, but it should be covered. It should be covered by the umbrella of your seriousness about your vision as well.
Yeah.
But you must be able to change. Nobody remains the same as the months go by. Your vision can be, your values, yes, but you must be agile as well.
Yeah, it's about being malleable as well. I mean, situations change. During the summer holidays, the rand exchange rate, we were at, I think, 14 rand. By the 20th of December 2015, we were at 18 rand to the dollar. So business has to be malleable around that.
The only constant is change.
Yeah.
In that sense.
And I think that for me, you know, when you look at a person's determination and their ability to control, let's call it this, themselves and what motivates them, you know, it's pointless being in a situation where the rand falls out of bed and so do you. You know, that just ain't doable. If you're a self-motivated and an entrepreneur that believes in the principle of self-determination and motivation, and you have a clear purpose, when that change, event, whatever it may be, happens, you then move with it, you flex whatever needs to be flexed, you change whatever needs to be changed in your organization, and the next minute you're ready to go. You don't allow the circumstances, the cat drinking the milk, to get you down. And that's the principle of the motivation.
Yeah, because then, therefore, it showcases that your intrinsic motivation allows you to acknowledge that you cannot control everything. Mm-hmm. You have no control of change. However, it's what you do with that, with that change, how you respond to it.
You don't fear it so much.
Yeah.
You see, that's just common. You don't fear it because you expect it in some form or other, but you're fearless.
So determination, self-motivation, and purpose was kind of the essence of our conversation today. I don't know how many entrepreneurs just start their business because they want to make money. They want to accumulate assets, which you don't really do in the business world. Do they then later on find out, gee, was actually there's more that motivates me? I thought it was money. I thought it was to accumulate wealth in a cleverer way. But in the end, so I'm not refuting everything we've said, but for some people, they think it's simpler. I just want to make money, man.
And maybe that's why 80% of businesses fail in the first 18 months.
Very good point.
Because the thing that they believe is the motivator suddenly isn't there.
It's not strong enough.
And it's not there as quickly and as easily, and it just doesn't happen.
So all right.
There's a causal connection there. Mm.
That was our conversation with Kumo Shongwe and, of course, Alice Mnyandu, Richard Angus, and Louis Groenewald came in, the old man. But next up, we're going to engage some interesting, I think, men and women. I haven't really looked at the list, but these are entrepreneurs from townships. It's a township entrepreneur competition. And each of them won a certain category. We'll ask them what category, but I hope they are ready for our questions. They might have a question for the panel as well. But for each of them, we will ask them kind of standard questions like, what is your business? So first, pitch your business. We'll say, how did you start? What keeps you going? What motivates you? Are you determined? What makes you determined? And maybe lessons learned, as well as advice for other small entrepreneurs. All this goes onto a podcast, and then we promote it quite actively. So I look forward to engaging these entrepreneurs, and I'm sure they have a lot of value to add. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.